Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for July 2nd, 2012, episode 436. And this episode is brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
Yep, it's Monday.
All right, let's take it from the top again.
Well, good morning, everybody, and thank you so much for being here today. Those of you that can hear us and aren't without power, I got to tell you, Jamie, my family has been weather nuts. My dad was a weather fanatic, and he instilled that in all four of his boys. We have been weather fanatics for my entire life, all 50 years. I have never heard of a derecho in my entire life. And then I woke up the other day, you know, Saturday morning, and I see this derecho, or however you pronounce it, had hit. And I was going, what the heck is one of those? And had you ever heard of one of those?
I have never heard of it, because in Spanish, derecho actually means right, turn right. So I don't know. I'd never heard of that. And actually, Chad and I did decide that we need to watch the news more, because I got my news about this from your Facebook post. We were like, I go, have
okay,
you ever
that's
heard
fair.
Of it? And Chad is like, Chad's dad is like weather guy, same as your family. And Chad is a weather guy too, and he had never heard of it either. And then I showed him the satellite picture that you posted, and he's like, oh my gosh, that looks terrible. We should really watch the news more often. Because when you live in Phoenix, and every single day is sunny with a high of 115, you get tired of watching the weather because you don't care anymore. You like, you just want something different, and it never changes, so you quit watching the weather. If you, the people in Phoenix doing the weather are the luckiest people in the world. They're the most bored at work. And if you look at the extended forecast here, everybody, it's, we're going to get down to 111 on Tuesday. Great, but we're right back up to 115 on Wednesday. Lame.
They pray for haboobs just so they have something to talk about.
Oh my God, it's the greatest news of their life when something. We got rain. You know what? It rained here last November. So wow, that was a big day for those people.
Still talking about that. No,
I know.
This was bad. I mean, this storm started out, you know, like a regular storm around Chicago, and then you saw the radar just built and built. By the time it hit West Virginia, Virginia, it was 350 miles wide. And one of the things that Darlene Newman, our friend from Equitrekking, she posted on there that she's still without power and not expected to have power till this Friday. And it's still hot there. It's still around 100 degrees every day. And she posted a picture of the lightning. One of the other things about this is the lightning's supposed to be unbelievable. You know how most storms, you'll have a strike of lightning, and then a couple seconds later or minutes later, there'll be another strike. Well, this one, 50 bolts will come down at a time. And she posted a picture of the lightning over the Capitol, and it was incredible, just incredible. There must have been 20 strikes at once.
Wow.
Just a wicked storm. And it comes up quickly. Everybody that was interviewed said the same thing, that all of a sudden it was on us, and the winds, you know, up to 90 miles an hour were just there. They call it a land hurricane is what they call it. And with the damage it was done, I was reading this morning, there were these poor people stuck on a train, an Amtrak train, had trees had come down in front of it and also behind it. They couldn't go anywhere. They were on the train for 20 hours.
Ugh.
They had no
awful
self-service. So they were running up. They get out and walk around the train. They were heading up the – there was a little mountain right beside where the train was. They kept going up to the top of the mountain trying to get cell service, and they couldn't get cell service up there either. There was this picture I saw, Jamie, of of this guy's driveway with this great big Cadillac, one of those big long Cadillacs, and it was in suburban Washington. And a tree had come down on the front of the hood of the Cadillac on the engine, big tree, and a big tree had come down the other way on the trunk of the car. The only thing that you could see was the cab, the part where the people sit, sticking out of the between the two trees. That was it.
Wow! Wow! Well, we certainly hope that all of our listeners, well, everybody is okay and is hanging out and didn't have any problems. And we hope everybody gets their power back soon, because that just sounds terrible. I would like to point out before we go any further that it is absolutely ridiculous that I have a cold and it's 115 degrees outside.
Yeah, what's the wrong time of year for that?
I'm not kidding you. I'm so mad at my husband because he went to Canada and caught the cold in Canada and then brought it home to me. So fantastic, honey. Thank you very much. Next time you come home, you're going to have to, like, I'm going to quarantine him when he goes on these trips. You got to stay in that room from now on, because the fact that I have a cold and it's 115 outside, so I went outside yesterday. I'm like, it'll bake it away. That doesn't work.
Yeah, we all think that. That's something I've tried too. Like if you go out and like lay in the sun, it's going to go away because it'll just absorb out of your body.
Yeah, no, it doesn't happen like that at all. Not at all. And I'm trying to get ready for my big competition this coming weekend. Is my first training level horse trial. Oh, I'm so excited. I'm so nervous. Now I'm so sick, and I had to ride my horse last night, and I just gave him the worst ride ever because my head was throbbing, and I'm trying to keep him fit, and it's 100 degrees outside. It just – let me stop complaining. Let me stop complaining because I did not have a derecho to deal with.
That's right. That's right. Well, Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
On today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, in honor of Jamie's utterly out-of-season influenza – there, I said it. We opt for an oratory on Olympic fever. Compliments of the Dressage Radio Show, Olympians Stefan Peters and Tina Cunyat, Unplugged. This is going to be a really fun one. And Leslie Wiley is back with the latest and greatest from HorseNation.com. And it appears that Glenn made a bit of a stir. And it's National Cell Phone Month. So National Cell Phone Courtesy Month. So please silence your phones now and no texting during the show.
There you go. I like that.
What am I going to do?
You're first.
Well, oh, thank you. Barbary went on this past weekend. And, you know, this is a really big deal because the Americans are getting selected today. The eventing team for the Olympics for the United States are getting selected today.
Oh, is it today? I didn't know when it was. Okay.
It's today, but what they have to do right now. So I'm sending my Daily Winnie out to everybody who completed Barbary, and we'll go over the results in just a minute. I'm sending my Daily Winnie out to them because they have massive amount of veterinary inspections today. I mean, they got to pass some vet checks right after running an advanced horse trial. Just a difficult day for them. And like Tiana Coudray, who rides Ringwood Magister, her horse lost one shoe at the third fence and one shoe, I think, at the sixth fence, and she finished the whole entire course. So here's to Tiana and Ringwood Magister staying sound, getting a vet inspection because
and
she
came
finished
in
up in fifth
overall.
I know. So she's amazing. That horse is just to die for. That's the horse, Glenn, when we were at Rolex the first time together, and there was a gray horse that came on the screen because you can see the dressage from where we were broadcasting, and both of us actually stopped, and we were like,
right.
Who's that gray? Oh, my God, he's amazing. That is Ringwood Magister, so I love that horse, and Tiana just couldn't be, like, a more bubbly, kind of fun competitor. So I'm cheering her on and everybody else for the Olympic selectors doing the veterinary inspections today. We will find out more probably before tonight because the time change over there, you know, they're ahead of us. So we'll probably find out sometime this afternoon.
Yes, and we'll go over the results here in just a minute because there was a Kiwi who certainly ruled the day. We'll talk about that in a little bit as well. Let's do my Daily Winnie. Well, my Daily Winnie goes out to all of our Canadian listeners. It's Happy Canada Day to all of you today. It's a holiday up there, so we probably have a few of them listening in. I didn't know what Canada Day was, so I looked it up on everybody's favorite Wikipedia, and it basically said in 1867 there were three colonies in Canada that united into a single country called Canada. So it was when the three colonies and it became Canada. So that's the start of Canada. And for you guys up there, I played the Swiss one, so here is yours. Forgot that you hear that every once in a while watching baseball, don't you?
No, not really. I just, anytime I hear the national anthem, because when I was a kid, we went to a lot of Braves games. And this is like the 80s when the Braves stunk, you would not believe. And they were like the worst team in Major League Baseball. And we would go, and that was the only time I would ever hear the national anthem. And I thought that the last line of the American national anthem, the land of the free and the home of the Braves. And I thought that was like the Braves song, you know? And then you start hearing it when you get older, you're like, oh, that wasn't just the song you hear at the Braves games. Sorry, I was stupid. But anytime I hear a national anthem, it makes me think of a ball game, you know? It's probably terrible.
So I got to tell you, over the weekend at Barbary, the Eventers, we'll talk a little bit about it's going to be a hard selection. It's going to be hard for the selectors to pick this year who's going to represent the United States. There are so many to choose from. Now, the one early on in the day, I was following Samantha Clark, the host of the Venting Radio Show. I was following her tweets. By the way, if you don't follow her on Twitter and you're interested in eventing, you should, because she tweets everything. But she was over at Barbary, and she was on the cross-country course that day and was the first to report that Boyd Martin had a heartbreak with Neville Bardos. It was,
oh my,
it was
gosh,
so sad.
I've been wanting him and that horse to get to the Olympics because it would bring such a great story to the Olympic Games. And let me point out that Boyd is fine and Neville is fine, but he just kind of caught he was like a half stride into a jump and caught a leg. And for the first time ever, Boyd actually fell off Neville in cross country. So while that doesn't help them getting selected, Boyd did finish in sixth place on his horse Remington. So he finished in 23rd with Otis Barbatieri. So he did okay. It's just that was the one horse, Glenn, that we were really pulling for, you know?
Yeah, we thought that was the Cinderella story of the Olympics. If that horse had made it, and there, you know, he still could, but
right.
Remington, I got to say, they're going to pick Remington because he did better on Remington than Dressage. Remington has been a good performer for him here recently, so I kind of think you're going to see Remington chosen anyway. But
Right.
But Tina,
right.
Tina Cordray ahead of him in fifth place. You know, was kind of interesting.
I don't know if that was expected. To finish, well, she always is up there in dressage, and to run clean cross country. I think she had a couple time penalties, but nothing much. You know, everybody had different goals from what I've been reading, as far as Captain Mark Phillips has been giving everybody specific goals. So the people that had time penalties went out there to get time penalties. They weren't worried about that. They were worried about jumping clean. So it wasn't like this to be a three-star that you travel across the country for. It wasn't like our team went out there to win the thing. They went in there to put individually good performances. And Tiana, my God, she just booked it and just had an amazing dressage test and just did fantastic. And again, she finishes up in fifth place. Now we got to give the what to Andrew Nicholson, finishing in first and second. He finished in first on Avebury, I think is his name, and then Kimbo, in the second place category. So the first time that a Kiwi has ever won Barbary, and Andrew Nicholson does it with ease, like pulls a Mary King at Rolex and wins first and second place.
Yeah, he did terrific. And, where did Mark Todd end up? Do you have that?
Oh,
there?
No, you didn't hear?
No.
It makes me feel better to know that something like this could happen to Mark Todd, because this kind of crap, and I know that Aubrey's listening right now, and I want you to pat yourself on the back and feel better, because if you've ever done this, it happens in an Olympic selection trial to Mark Todd when he was galloping around. He forgot fence number 21. On cross country. Forgot.
Jennifer, you can feel better.
I mean, we've all done it, but to hear that, we all feel stupid every single time, and I'm sure Mark Todd feels kind of stupid, but he's Mark Todd. He doesn't make mistakes, but the fact that he made a mistake that all of us have made at some point, and they rope it off. Like, these cross-country courses, it's hard to miss a fence. It's not like when Jen and I go out and compete, or Aubrey and I go out and compete.
In the middle of an open field someplace.
And there's a billion jumps out there, you know? And you're like, oh, which one am I supposed to jump? He actually just went out there and forgot one. So he forgot fence number 21. So Mark Todd was eliminated. I'm pretty sure he'll still make the team because, you know, he's Mark Todd, but that kind of mistake, I'm sure he chalked it up to his age or something funny, because he's very sarcastic and dry.
I'm sure there were some Alzheimer's jokes floating around the barn.
Oh, I am sure. But to round out the American team, Will Faudry finished in 10th place with Andromac. I don't know how to say that. That's a nice mare that he's got. Allison Springer and Arthur finished in 12th place. Philip Dutton and Mystery Whisper rounded out the American team. I'm sorry. They finished in 14th. Clark Montgomery and Laughlin Glenn finished in 15th. Boyd and Otis, 23rd. Karen and Mr. Medicott, Karen O'Connor, they were in the 33rd place. Ooh. Will Coleman and Twizzle finished in 34th. Sinead Halpin and Manoir de Carnville, which is such a nice horse. She actually went out there and knew she was going to get some time penalties cross country. I think she looked fantastic. She's in 36th. And then Philip Dutton and Mighty Nice, his other horse, came in 39th. So what is your pick for the team? Who do you think it's going to be?
I still think we got Boyd with Remington. I think that's a given. I still think Allison Springer is going to be in there. I think Tiana Cordray. And I think, I got to say, Will Faudry is doing very well. And Karen O'Connor, you know, they had hopes for Karen O'Connor, but she did not do well over the weekend. And I don't know. Do they put her in there just for, you know, because you're going to get somebody with a lot of experience? They almost always pick somebody who's been on a team before. So I don't know.
To me, that's where you take Philip Dutton over Karen O'Connor, you know, and you've got, to me,
but
Boyd.
He was in 14th,
and,
so, yeah. With
exactly.
And that's probably a better horse. Yeah, more predictable horse.
Yeah, his best horse. Apparently, Mr. Medicott, Karen O'Connor's horse, can be difficult to ride on cross country, and he gets really strong. And I guess the course in London is going to be very technical, and you don't really want a strong horse. You want one more like Will Faudry's horse, who is very light and easy to maneuver. and again, this is all just from what I've been reading. I wasn't there. But I think Boyd and Remington, Tiana and Ringwood Magister, Philip Dutton and Mystery Whisper, and I'm going to go, my sleeper pick is going to be Sinead Halpin. I'm going to go with Sinead.
Yeah, well, I don't know that that's a sleeper. She's been doing very well, and she's enthusiastic, and everybody likes her. She would be a good team member, you know, so, yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll know later today.
Crazy. I can't wait to find out. I don't know why this is so exciting. I just love the Olympics. I mean, just that whole, the world is competing against each other. I mean, just yesterday, we were getting excited about the Olympics. We watched, like, swimming trials. And also watched the Europe Cup was on yesterday, the Euro Cup. And since I'm sick, I just didn't do anything. And I laid on the couch and watched whatever Chad was watching. And we were watching Spain versus Italy and just thinking about how exciting it's going to be when the Olympics are on. I just can't wait. I just can't wait.
Well, that's the only time every 4 years that anybody ever watches some of these sports, like swimming and track and field and things like that, is when the Olympics are coming up, because you want to know who's running, and then after that, you don't watch it for another 4 years again.
I know, but it's still...
Gymnastics.
That's what...
Nobody cares about gymnastics in the 3 years between, but during the Olympics, everybody knows the star gymnast names, but then right after that, nobody cares for another 4 years.
You know what's really sad is that gymnastics takes center stage during the Olympics, and us as horse people, we even get wrapped up in the gymnastics stuff, and people always think, who cares about that horse crap? Nobody cares. Who watches that? And here we are, like, breaking down the picks for the selectors, because that's what we focus on. So I'm sure there's gymnastics people somewhere that care all year round. Maybe the people that compete, I guess.
Yeah, they're probably the ones, and their families. Their families probably care, just like ours do. Well, I got to tell you, I get off the subject a little bit. The Dr. Jones texted me over the weekend with her own rescue story. Our own Dr. Jones,
really?
From Wednesday morning from thehorse.com. She texted me and said, watch the local news about the horse that fell in the sinkhole. Well, one of the problems you have here when you have a lot of rain in Florida, we're learning, is that sinkholes develop. I mean, big sinkholes. Some of them swallow up houses. And then some of them are smaller, and some of them are only the size of a horse. Well, that's what happened in this poor horse's pasture.
What?
Down where Dr. Howard Jones is. Apparently, the horse was walking along, and the sinkhole developed right underneath him, and the horse fell in the hole.
Oh, no.
That was a new one. And I turned on the local news, and sure enough, I caught the story, but I didn't see Dr. Jones. She was apparently called in. She did not help get the horse out of the hole, but was there to do the vet check after, and the horse was fine and everything. But she was so excited that she got to be involved in a horse rescue story that we would talk about on the air. So there you go, Dr. Jones, a horse in a sinkhole.
Wow.
Some of these sinkholes are huge.
I just find it amazing the ways that the earth tries to kill you, you know, between the rachos and the sinkholes and the haboobs and all this. It's like, just get away. Just leave here. you know, unfortunately, there was a situation here in Arizona. My vet was on TV this weekend as well, because Maricopa County Sheriff's Office had to go to a facility in North Scottsdale, and it was a boarding facility where they seized 7 horses at a boarding facility that were starving. And I see this story, and I'm like, really sad, and I think, oh no, I'm so sad. And then I realize that the vet is going to give me a call in about 6 months and say, hey, you know how you took Jet and then you took Joey? Well, I've got another one for you, because this is the same vet that keeps calling me about these dang horses that I have in my now backyard. So I watch these stories, and I'm like, oh, poor horses. Crap, which one's going to come live with me?
Like your dad used to tell you when you were younger and a teenager, learn to say no. Say no.
How's that working out for
let's practice there.
Do as I say, not as I do.
I got to give a shout out. I'm not a Daily Winnie, but we'll give this to a guy by the name of Brian Lee. Of course, we all know about the huge wildfires that are going on. They're causing just devastation all over Montana and Colorado. And there's, like, all over the West, there are fires everywhere. Well, as wildfire, let me read part of the story to you because it's just amazing what Brian Lee and his three friends did. As wildfires consumed hundreds of square miles in Montana and the West, many residents have to choose between protecting their animals and saving their own lives. And that's led some to leave their livestock or pets fend for themselves with nothing more than an open gate to give the animals a chance to find safety. Apparently, these larger farms, if you know, the ranches and things, if they have 100 horses and all the cattle, they just can't get everybody out. So they cut open the gates and they let the horses loose, figuring they're better off on their own, and they'll spray paint them with markings and stuff. Well, tales of compassion and bravery have also emerged. As fire was bearing down on a neighborhood north of Helena in Montana on Monday, Brian Lee and three of his friends rounded up dozens of distressed horses, sheep, and goats in an aluminum trailer and carted them to safety. They made three separate trips into the fire zone, driving against the flow of departing residents. On their last trip, the men packed more than a dozen horses into a six-horse trailer. Now, first of all, think about that.
Wow.
And let me read on. As they turned to go, the flames had reached and covered the road. There was no way out. There were flames on both sides of the road. So we sucked it up and drove through the flames and the smoke, and we got out by the skin of our teeth. He didn't know most of the people whose animals they saved, but Lee said that they were his neighbors, and he felt obligated to help. Well, holy cow. Now,
wow.
You know how hard it is to get a horse in a trailer? Try getting 12 in a six-horse trailer when there's fire burning all around you. These guys should be awarded the Medal of Honor. I mean, geez.
Oh, my gosh. What is this, John Lyon's loading technique? You know, everybody, get in. My name is Noah, and this is my art. Get in.
Get in now.
Oh, that's amazing.
Just,
what a
can you imagine?
Story.
And then to look and see the fire and cross the road, and they just like, what are we going to do? And you just drive through it. Oh, my gosh.
No. That's incredible, just story amazing. Oh, man.
And then
crazy story.
There's the opposite of that. And there's the guy. We talked about this, just to lighten the show up a little bit. We talked about bronies a couple of weeks ago. Remember, I didn't even know what a My Little Pony was. And then we started getting all these My Little Ponies stories. Well, this past weekend in New Jersey was the Brony Convention, and that is guys who like My Little Ponies. And they apparently were over 1,000 there at this. It started several years ago when it only attracted like 100 people. And the guys want to make clear that they are misunderstood, and they get a bad rap from the media. They're just about the show, friendship, love, and tolerance, and have no bad intentions in any way. So they just wanted to make that clear to the media. Now, I saw pictures of the group. Let me just say that I'm a geek, and I admit to being a geek. These guys go past geekhood into nerddom, really far into being nerds. Let me tell you, they made this. I got to tell you, it says in the article that the convention center staff appeared to be a little overwhelmed at times. It was just a little over a year ago when they attracted about 100 people to what did they call it? BronyCon. BronyCon.
I think it's fantastic. If you're not hurting anybody and you're doing something that you love, whatever that can be, you will go ahead and enjoy it. You know, I love the fact that I'm reading this, and you know, Dragon Con in Atlanta was a really big deal, and that's
well,
where
that's a huge
any yeah, it's huge, and any and everybody who's involved in some sort of weird sci-fi whatever shows up, and people line up to get their autographs, and they pay big money to get these autographs. So you'll have, like, Captain Kirk will be, like, the main guy at the Dragon Con, and just every random television actor that has ever been in any sort of version of any sort of sci-fi movie is there. And you're like, who is that person? But it doesn't matter, because at BronyCon, the people that did the voices for My Little Pony in the TV show were there signing autographs and giving speeches. Vendors sold pony, stuffed ponies, pony accessory, pony signs, pony hats, and every pony item imaginable, they say. And the stars who do the show's voices signed autographs and gave speeches. And also, the animator was there, the original animator hired by Hasbro was there too. Do you think they ever thought that I'm going to be at a convention,
no,
much like Dragon Con?
No is the answer to that question, no.
Good God. I mean, you know what? Great. Good for you guys.
But
go
you
in there
know
and
which
teeth
one,
and love each
you know
other.
The big
and
one. The Mac Daddy of all of those conventions is coming up in San Diego in just a couple of weeks. Don't ask me how I know this. July 12th through the 15th is coming up. I just heard this in one of the podcasts I listened to. Comic-Con, which is a comic book convention. And they get over 150,000 people to Comic-Con. And you think the costumes are weird at the others, you should see them showing up at Comic-Con. Huge. It's a huge deal at Comic-Con.
This is where the Conan O'Brien dog, what's his name, the puppet dog?
Oh, I know who you mean. Yes. Is it the one with the cigar?
I know you know. Yes, the dog. Yeah. That's where they did some of their best filming ever, was at Comic-Con.
Comic-Con.
And it's Triumph, the insult comic dog. Thank you very much. that's where he did his best work, and I can't wait. Hopefully there'll be some more now that Conan's got his show on again.
I don't know. Now Rhonda just posted Blame Canada on our Facebook page. I don't know what that was. I don't know what that's about,
yeah.
Rhonda.
Blame Canada, Blame Canada. It's a song, Glenn. It's a song done by the South Park people about pretty much anything that was going on. I forgot why they said Blame Canada, but it was a song that the parents of the South Park kids came up with. They just started singing it because they wanted to blame Canada for everything that was wrong in America.
Gotcha. You know, and I should have known that because I used to watch South Park, but I haven't watched it in years. But I used to watch it all the time. God, that show's been on for 150 years, South Park.
It's been awesome. Blame Canada. Rhonda, you're funny. I love it.
Right. Why don't I do the commercial, and then we'll get to our the interview today. We have Omega Alpha is our sponsor for today. And, you know, we all care about what we feed our horses, probably more than what we feed ourselves. Omega Alpha also cares about what goes into your horses and ponies. That is why Omega Alpha only uses natural formulations for enhancing equine health and performance. All of their products are made by them using the finest natural ingredients available. Dozens of different all-natural products are available to help your horses with all kinds of things, including their coat, digestive tract, kidney and liver function, muscles, joints, and so much more. You can find all of Omega Alpha's products at Omega Alpha Equine, or you can like them on Facebook by searching for Omega Alpha Equine. Check them out, everybody. If you haven't taken a look at Omega Alpha, you really should. Well, I wanted to play an interview that came out on Friday on the Dressage Radio Show, hosted by Reese and Philip. It was Dressage Radio Show, episode 161. They had the two of the team that are heading the U.S. contingent for dressage over at the Olympics in London. They had Stefan Peters, who was actually was sitting 1 and 3 with his horses. Is it Legolas? Is that how he says it?
Legolas. I don't know. We'll find out.
And Ravel. That one's easier to say. But he talks about that a little bit in the interview, and also Tina Cunyat. And I got to tell you a funny story. Tina is a comedian, and I was helping produce that show that night, and we had Stefan on the phone already, and I called Tina. So we got four people on the line right now waiting to do this segment. And I called Tina, and I thought I dialed the wrong number because I heard what did she say? Ritz-Carlton Hotel, New York, may I take your reservation? And it was this dead serious woman's voice. And I went, oh, my God, I called the wrong number. So I was looking for as I was looking to hang up on her, Stefan says, I would like to place a – he said something like, I would like to place a reservation for next Friday night, please. And they had this little skit they did. It just got us. I mean, I was about to hang up on her. She had to convince that there was the hotel. So she's quite a character, as you're going to hear in this interview. So take a listen. I think you're going to enjoy it. And she talks about her horse, Collecto 5.
Tina and Stefan, thank you so much for joining us today on the Dressage Radio Show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well,
thanks
we are. Yeah, oh, you're welcome. We are all excited to hear how things are going at your individual training camps.
Yes, exactly. It's starting as soon as we get to England. And, you know, horses are going well. Ravel has arrived here in Gladstone as well. And so far, I couldn't ask for more. Everybody's happy. And, in fact, tonight we have a little team gathering here. I'm sorry that Tina's not there, but we just fired up the barbecue, and well, I'm going to cook for everyone here in about 15, 20 minutes.
Oh, it's a pity I'm not there. I would love to have a cook-off. That would be fun. So they're partying without me. Boy, I'm here all by myself.
Don't you worry. As soon as you get here, Tina, we'll have a lot of expertise now in ribs and steaks, and we're ready to cook for you, too, when you get here.
We always have a good time together. There's no question about that. We have a little bit of experience about being together, and it's an awful lot of fun and an awful lot of support of each other. So I look forward to that. I chose to come home after the trials for just a couple of weeks, and I look forward to getting back to Gladstone with my buddies, my teammates there.
That's good. Both of you competed at the World Equestrian Games. How have you developed your horses since then in preparation for the Olympics?
It's been an exciting year for Ravel and Lindas. You know, if I said early on this year at the Masters, Ravel was already in top form. We did a couple more shows in California, including Ravel's highest score in the Grand Prix Special at an 81%. And there's really not more I could ask from this horse than his younger brother came along. And he did really well on the West Coast too. And we decided to take it real easy with Ravel in April and May. He had a little break, and now he's back to competition mode and competition fitness. And he's still making his little brother a little jealous, but he's they're working pretty good together.
And Tina, the same question about from Wade to now. How have you developed Collecto 5?
Well, I think there's thank God there is a big difference from the way to now as far as the development of Collecto and I, the combination of the two of us. We've improved immensely as far as our competition status. And we had a little bit of a tough beginning to the season. It was not such an easy beginning for us. I had some personal problems with losing my greatest love of my life, one of my dogs, and I had a tough time dealing with that, and so I think it affected my riding with my own horse and at the Masters, which I had great hopes of competing as well as the year before that. He ended up tying up there, and which was quite an unusual situation. It had never happened before. So we didn't have an easy beginning of the year, and then we slowly started to pick it up after I had to put my animal to sleep, and March and April became stronger and stronger, and I cleared my head from the personal trauma I had, and he feels very, very good. You know, all of our horses are in top condition. They're in top training form as far as their lessons. It's just a matter of keeping them at the highest level of their fitness level, to be at the highest level and health level. So that's been a very important factor for Collecto, and I've paid more attention to that. He's a big horse, big, dark horse, but the temperature can affect him quite a bit, and he always tends to carry more weight than he should, and that's probably obviously it's my fault. So I've paid very close attention to that and made a great effort to keep him fit. So going into the selection trials, I had, three holes less on my girth so I could show Coach Ann Gribbins that I, really made that effort. And that was just not about working harder, training my lessons harder. It was just strictly about the fitness level and where we are in Canada. We have such beautiful hills and beautiful sandy ground, grass-covered sandy ground that we're able to ride on. And I train him a very specific way up and down these hills that keeps him strong and healthy, and his fitness level has increased immensely. And that's my greatest difference that I have. And also I've learned a little bit more to focus how important it is, and I thank Anne Gribbins for that also. I mean, she's made a difference in me personally on my focus level of my riding, and I'm very grateful for that. So that affects my horse.
And Stefan, how do you stay focused too? I think that's a question that all riders ask their coaches and themselves. Kind of how have you been able to? You're so amazing at doing that. So how have you been able to do that?
You know, I've been very lucky to, you know, to have Legolas and, you know, stay sharp in the show arena. And I think that is, no matter how much you focus outside the ring, it really depends on your performance in the arena. And even if you practice tests at home, you better do the shows. And even if it's a smaller CDI, you better get in front of the judges. But it's always the most important way of showing that you still have the level of performance that you need for the Olympic Games. And I have to say, our sports psychologist, Dr. Jenny, she's been very, very helpful. I had a few phone conversations with her and then met here in Gladstone with her a few times. And just that little bit extra mental toughness is always very important. Let's face it, there's a huge expectation at the Olympic Games, and she always has some very good little tips to improve on that. So, you know, the bottom line is we're ready.
I can't agree more with Stefan. It's such he couldn't say it any better. And he adds something there that I wish I was able to do. And he hit the nail on the head when he said to be able to be in that arena, that's the only thing that I can say I lack. As far as, I can focus, and mentally I'm a very balanced person, and I don't have nerve issues or anything like that. But what Stefan said is about, you know, being out there and doing it, even if it's, you know, getting into the CDIs, getting out there and doing it. I wish I had more horses to ride, and that's what sometimes the Europeans have a little bit advantage over us, is that they have multiple horses that they're able to go and ride a Grand Prix, so you're not wearing out your own best horse. And that's an important factor. I so agree with Stefan on that. I wish I was able to do that. So I think I'm going to have to go out there and ride my pogo stick or something and kind of go.
But the good thing, we do have another optional show in Hickstead. It's a CDN.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
And
we're all doing
that. You know, Anne suggested this show for all of us. We have the option of riding just the Grand Prix. We could do the Grand Prix and the Grand Prix Special. It's a couple hours away from the training camp in England, and I think it's just a real nice way of putting the final polish on everything.
Absolutely.
So the credit to Coach Anne Gribbins, who plans everything perfectly. So this all starts next week.
We're
and
all psyched
honestly
about
can't,
that. That's
can't
a
wait
great
to get
way.
Over there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Just going a different way with the questions. Do you guys have any superstitions or charms that you use going into a show? Maybe Stefan, you want to answer first?
Yeah, I honestly think superstition is a good thing because superstition is a good thing because you do obviously associate something that you pick with something positive. I mean, you don't just pick an item or a routine or whatever you pick. There's usually nothing negative about it. So I really believe it's a positive thing. And I, in a competition, I have a certain amount of bridges that are generously sponsored by GPA. And there's one that I wear on the first day and the second day, and I have one that I use on the final day. And usually, like that, I mean, Tiger Woods has a red shirt for his final day of the tournament. And you know what? I believe
I do the same.
It works for me.
Yep.
And, I used to be pretty crazy about that with my tailcoat, but then GPA made me a generous offer to wear their tailcoat. So I was a bit concerned, but it worked out. The new tailcoat is working out beautifully, but the bridges are still the same.
I think that our superstitions are also just our personal feelings. And, you know, either you believe in superstitious acts or you don't. But we like to keep things the same, no question about that. And I have to laugh at that, what Stefan said, but I agree. I mean, I do have my breeches. I have my breeches. I just packed, and I have my breeches laid out for each event. It's in the same one that I wear all the time. It's very interesting. And the same specific tailcoat I have. I haven't had any generous offers to wear a tailcoat. I've had generous offers to wear other apparel, but I don't think I could ride in them, actually.
Well, I think you guys could sell a little bit of that. I think there could be something about that, for
sure. But you don't want to change anything. We all have our routines our horses. I mean, Collector travels. I mean, I wanted to make sure he had his teddy bear with him. I mean, that's a little bit superstitious and in routine, that you don't want to change anything, not just for ourselves, but for our animals. They have a certain, you know, certain routine for them, and they have to make a change. I mean, both rider, horse have to make a change when you travel in that competition level, and venues change and stables change, but we want to keep them as happy and as comfortable in their environment. So I got the okay that his big stuffed teddy bear can go with him, so that's a good thing.
I forgot one more item. Ravel was very generous in winning a watch at the World Cup in 2009, and that particular watch I always wear during competition, and, you know, hoping that that's a good omen as well.
I think the watch, that's a great one. So, Stefan, you first, but what is your highlight movement on both of your boys?
You know, that's probably the canter work with Ravel. You know, Ravel has a phenomenal canter. The pirouettes, the flying changes, the half passes have been phenomenal for so many years. It's trot half passes, and I still feel like in the last few months he's made some improvements in the Piaf Passage work, and that is also Legolas' strength. I mean, here at the championships, he received some 9th, here and there a 10th for the Piaf. Combined that with a very relaxed walk, you know, made him come up with an 80% after the trot work, and, you know, the canter work still needs a little bit more relaxation, a bit more throughness, a little bit more reliability in the flying changes, but already very excited with, you know, the movements that I just mentioned.
I would have to say his canter tour. I mean, it's so beautiful, his canter tour. That's the, you know, the presence of a stallion and in the canter that he has is just absolutely fantastic. I can rack up so many points in my canter. And I've been also improving an enormous amount in my trot work. I've always had a little bit of a funny, loose hind leg that sometimes is too expressive and can go everywhere at the same time. And we've made a great effort to keep that package and keep it contained. So the trot work is becoming very, very steady, steadier in the connection. And I'm getting some beautiful, beautiful trot half passes, which always was a bit of a struggle for me. The passage can be extravagant, and then it can be too extravagant. So we've been working on that also. But I think that the highlight for Colecto is that his presence in his canter work is so very, very special. And just, I think, just standing there for Colecto, everybody seems to you know, ooh and ah when they see him, because he does have the little extra stallion presence to him.
Maybe one more question for you guys, a non-horsey question, but what other sport maybe would you like to watch while you're at the Olympics, if you could?
You know, I always liked track and field, and after the last Olympics, I had a chance to talk to Michael Phelps a little bit at the reception of the White House, and, you know, send him some pictures of the president, and he actually responded. So, you know, obviously it would be very interesting to see him watching a couple more medals and making it an Olympic record for him, making it the first athlete with the amount of medals. And that would be exciting to see. And the neat thing is there are tickets available for the athletes. You know, we just have to go into the Olympic Village and find out on which day certain tickets are available. So to answer your question, it will be track and field and swimming.
I would have to go the same direction. I've always been a fan of the track and field. I absolutely am a huge fan of that. Swimming is also something very special. Diving and the gymnastics. And gymnastics may be even to the track and field, actually. It would be probably on an even scale, the gymnastics.
I hope you get to see some of that, guys.
We intend to. Stefan, a great time, an exciting time for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, Stefan and Tina, we wish you all the best of luck, and we're going to be cheering you on, everyone that
listens
to the shows and ourselves. And I'm sorry. I enjoyed your time here when you were here during the WEG, and I wish you as much luck and have a great time.
Thank you. We'll do the best we possibly can.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
Extra luck And we certainly appreciate the support from you guys and all the listeners. It's honestly much appreciated.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Good luck.
Stefan, look forward to seeing you soon, Stefan. And thank you all
so
very
much. See you next week,
Tina. All the best, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that interview was from the Dressage Radio Show. Thanks to Reese and Philip for letting us play that here today. It was kind of fun. Do you think you have to pay extra to have a teddy bear sent on the plane with the horse?
I don't know. That's a really cool story.
you don't think about all of these. I mean, Stefan Peter is one of the top dressage riders in the world, and Tina's not too bad either. And you don't think about these people having their own little things that they do and, you know, certain breeches they wear for certain events. And, you know, every time I listen to Stefan, I feel better that they're just ordinary people out there, you know, and they have ordinary things they do. Like you talked about the barbecue, and they were going to play miniature golf as a team the other night for team building. They were all going to play miniature golf together. So
yeah,
it's
that's
just
awesome.
Kind of neat.
You know, it makes me feel better that they have random things like that, because I have a particular pair of underwear that I wear on cross country day, and I'm very serious about it. And unfortunately it's starting to unravel. And so I need to find, another pair, but Jennifer just typed you. Yeah, I need a seamstress, because I have this pair of underwear. I don't know where I got it, but it has it got the Superman logo on it. And I thought, well, that's the perfect cross country underwear, because I want to be Superman. So I only wear it now on cross country day, because it's so tattered at this point.
How far is San Francisco from you, by the way?
Oh, my God, I should go to Comic-Con and get Superman underwear. What an idea! That's awesome. That's awesome. I also have particular socks that I like to wear to compete, too. So I'm sure that our listeners all have something that they do on competition day. Maybe we can make that our question of the day. Do you have a particular thing that you wear or a particular item that you carry with you on competition day to kind of give me a good luck? And again, my Superman underwear, I even wear it when I'm schooling cross country, and I couldn't find it last time, and I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna die, I have my Superman underwear. Yeah, it's bad. I need to take it to a seamstress and be like, can you fix these, please? There's like elastics out of them. It's like I have to duct tape my Superman underwear to me to run cross country. That's fantastic.
I'll tease
a
little
tell
bit
you that.
I don't know. That was almost too much information. On next week's Dressage Radio Show, they interviewed the two other members of the team heading, the dressage team heading over there. And I'm not going to say who. You have to listen and hear. But one of them, their superstition is their shad belly. They never, ever, and that's the coat they wear for people that don't know with the tail. He never, ever, ever washes it. Ever.
Gross. Well,
yeah,
you know
that's
what
I was kind of thinking.
I would say gross, but he probably doesn't groom his own horse and get ready by himself. They just hand him the horse and he gets on. So he probably doesn't get it very dirty. And then,
right. And then he goes right in the little hangy bag immediately after he's done, and he puts it away. So, but that's it. That's his superstition. So a lot of people I know have saddle pads, certain saddle pads that they'll wear, use, or, you know, different things like that. But there must be some weird ones. Let's hope the listeners chipe in there and give us some weird ones. Let's play the song, and then we're going to get to Leslie Wiley of Horse Nation, who apparently wants to talk about me and you for some reason.
Oh,
we'll be
great.
Back. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. This is This Love of Horses by Marianne.
I love them from the start. They're in my veins, running my blood. And if I live to be 100, I'll never get enough. They fill our days, they grace our lives.
This Love of Horses by Marianne Kennedy. You can find all of her music at MarianneKennedy.com, and that was a title track of her CD, This Love of Horses. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek here with a very sick Jamie Jennings and Coach Jen over there in the producer chair. So Rhonda actually from Canada actually posted that it was the cold that Jamie has from Chad's trip to Canada that she was talking about blaming Canada. So,
well, obviously, I do blame Canada for that, Glenn, but I want to point out the irony of actually the fact that it's Canada Day, and we already played the Canadian national anthem. So it's a Canada-themed day here on Horses in the Morning.
Even your cold, your sniffling and blowing is thanks to Canada.
Thanks, blame Canada, blame Canada.
It's your
Canada.
Tribute. It's kind of like your tribute to Canada.
Go ahead.
It's another cold country that we paid tribute to last week, and this is called a good transition. Horse Radio Network show highlight is Stable Scoop episode number 202, Walking on Thin Ice. It was thick ice, it was called, and it was all about the Icelandic horses. There's a new documentary being made by a couple of people out of New York who just discovered these Icelandic horses, thought they were really cool, and went to Iceland and did this documentary, and we talked to them about the horses and their life up there. It was really neat. It was really neat to discover some of the things that they do in Iceland to take care of their horses. So that was on the Stable Scoop radio show. And I think it is time, Jamie, to hear why Leslie wants to talk to us.
And we've got Leslie Wiley from HorseNation.com. She joins us every Monday to talk about, oh, Lord, whatever ridiculousness they've been posting on their website. And usually it's something ridiculous. And we've got to start out with the fact that you've got to give Glenn a little a little congratulations, right?
Absolutely. So your top 10 list of the reasons to date or marry a horse girl was a huge hit on Horse Nation. We reposted it from your show last week, and I think it was maybe our second most viewed post ever. So it must have struck a chord with the Horse Nation.
Your people are desperate. Your people are desperate over there at Horse Nation. That's all I'm going to say.
No, it was a pretty amazing list.
I'm sorry. There's so many. I mean, I think I clicked on 12 times just to reread it, because there's so many things that tell guys not to date a horse chick, that it was nice, Glenn. See the positivity, the good spirit coming through, that there's a reason to go ahead and write a top 10 list of the perks of dating or marrying a horse chick. And even though a lot of your submissions were snarky and sarcastic, I don't care. We are going to take them for what they are, and their perks of dating or marrying a horse girl. And everybody kind of enjoyed that. So I hear, let me ask first, what is the, if this was the second most read post ever, what was the first most read post, the top one ever?
You know, I think it was the planking. The planking was a phenomenon. That was the horse planking, if you'll recall.
I got beat out by
ago.
Planking?
Yeah, but it just barely edged you out, just barely.
Huh.
And
you
it's
got
also
beat out by
had
planking.
More time to marinate. You know, I mean, it's been there for months. So
exactly.
You'll catch up.
Yeah, don't take it personally. I'm going to print off the list that you wrote and put it on the refrigerator, whereas I would not necessarily print off a picture of someone planking on their horse and put it on the refrigerator. As a reminder to my husband of what a deal he
What did your gets. Husband say about it? Did he agree with them?
Oh, he cackled. He thought it was hilarious. Yeah, yeah. Especially he loved the one, he said, have you ever seen 2 points? He was like, yes, that's what it's all about, 2 points.
Yeah. And now, you know what's weird is that I was doing some canter work with my horse last night, and I'm in 2 point, and my husband is watching, and all I could think about is, Glenn, stupid list, here I am trying to get fit for a competition. And all I can think of is, he's looking at my butt.
You know what I thought of over the weekend? Is the poor Western riders never get that pleasure, ever.
No, their bums are never in the air.
No.
Oh, poor Western riders. whatever, they have cowboys, so it doesn't matter.
It all evens out.
Yeah. So I hear now, too, Leslie, that you are about to open the open and shut competition that I'm going to win on HorseNation.com, and that is for the coolest riding helmet ever. Tell us what's going on. What's taking so long? Why haven't
it
I won
is.
This company?
Because we haven't opened voting yet. But we've got these fabulous 1K USA helmets. 1K's sister company of Ovation, and they've just sort of started opening up shop in the U.S., and they have these helmets that are red, white, and blue, and we thought, what a great contest to run. It sort of, you know, we've got the 4th of July coming up this week, we've got the Olympics starting soon. It's time to start getting a little patriotic, you know, so the contest was for readers to send in pictures of themselves and their horse, demonstrating patriotism. And so we narrowed it down to, I believe, top 10 list. And as soon as I get off the phone with you guys, I'm going to post it to the site, and we're putting it to a vote, because that is the democratic way, is the American way, and we'll see what Horse Nation thinks.
Okay. So can I at least ask, did I make the top 10?
You totally made, you hands
Woo-hoo!
Down made the top 10.
Yeah,
who?
Absolutely. I can't vote yet. I'm looking. I'm trying to vote, but I can't vote yet.
Nope. As soon as I get off the phone with you guys, I'm putting it up there. So you have to. So everybody, vote for Jamie. You'll make her so happy. You'll just make her day.
It's flyover. Now I must admit that you probably only put me in the top 10 because you knew I would harass you to pieces and would never let you on my show again if you didn't. Because let me tell you something, Leslie Wiley. I have been in radio for about 15 years. And do you know what happens to people in radio? They give away prizes all the time. I give stuff away. Oh, here, we're going to give away the shaking fork. We're going to give away the lighted hoof pick. We're going to give away this, give away that. And I never get to win anything. So you know what?
Never get anything.
It's time. It's my time, okay? It is my time to shine. And so I just took a picture of my horse with a patriotic name with my husband in his patriotic uniform, and by God, I want to win.
That's the spirit, Jamie.
Thank
Tell
you.
Us how you really feel.
I got a stupid cold in 115-degree weather. I'm feeling like crap. I want it. I need a bright spot. So I'm gonna landslide this.
Well, that helmet certainly is bright. There's no question about that. I think the helmet's really cool. Actually, it's really neat.
Isn't it awesome? It's so cool. Yeah. Well, at any rate, if I don't win it, I think I should buy one.
Well, you know, these actually aren't for sale. They just have made a limited number of helmets. I know. I'm just, you know, we're up in the ante here. Yep. Yeah. You can't buy your way into this one. Nope. You have to win it fair and square. But yeah, they just made a limited number of them for promotional purposes. So.
Do you know how many they could have sold if they had BDs? My God, they would have sold thousands.
I know. Right.
All right. Yeah. All right, Horse Station. All right, Horse Radio. Horses in the Morning Nation, I need you. I need you all to pull together so I can, for the first time ever, win something.
And because of Glenn's post got so many reads, we're sending him a Smart Pack gift card.
You won something, Glenn!
So Glenn won something, too. I know.
Oh my gosh, that's fantastic! Congratulations, Glenn. That's awesome.
And you know what? Because it was about the 10 perks of dating and marrying a horse girl. Guess who's going to get to spend it?
Uh huh. Not you.
I'm waiting for her to chime in.
Not chiming in. Keep absolutely quiet.
Oh man, I think you should start a horse. Stand-up comedy. Like, probably, maybe the both of you guys should go on tour. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, I guess they're only, like, you know, the whole horse crowd would come see you. You could just get a little tour.
We could do it at horse shows, big horse shows. We could do a whole stand-up comedy routine. I don't think that's ever been done before.
Good
that
Lord. You know what?
Awesome.
I appreciate the vote of confidence, but when you see three people staring at you wondering what you're talking about, then it'll be cut short. Now, Leslie, before we get to your final story, I just posted something on Facebook, Glenn, and I want you to go watch it. Because at Barbary this weekend, obviously they're going to do the Olympic selections today, and we're going to find out who's going to be on the American Olympic team. But I got to give a shout-out to Clayton Frederick. At Barbary, did you see this video that EventingNation.com posted, Leslie?
Yes, that was wild. He's got some Velcro in his britches, doesn't he?
Well, see, and I wanted to point out that he actually created a saddle called, it's a Southern Stars saddle company. He uses the Southern Stars event saddle, which is also the saddle that I bought. So I'm thinking that in my first training level this weekend, I'm going to score big time with this saddle.
I think so.
The saddle saves.
Does it have an invisible seatbelt or something? I mean, how did he look like a goner for sure?
Yeah, I know. I'm not telling what the secret is, but yes, it might be Velcro. I love it. Well, listen, there was one other thing on your list to talk to us about, and this is where I was leading to. You, for some reason, your twisted listeners love to watch, or your twisted viewers love to watch people fall off, and your Oh Shucks series is incredibly popular. I must tell you that I cannot watch people fall off because I feel like it rubs off on me. So I can't actually watch any of them. I can watch the epic saves, like this Clayton Frederick save, but I cannot watch these. Now, what is going on with all of the falls this week?
So we started this Oh Shucks series when sort of at the beginning of the site, and when the site launched, we would do every Friday sort of feature photos or video of readers would send us documentation of themselves either having sticky moments or just being, you know, full out lawn darts. And
okay, I never heard that term before.
Lawn darts? Oh my gosh.
I've been the desert dart here, so yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
The sand dart.
Yeah.
But people loved it. This was a huge hit. And I think that a lot of what we write is writing, but the opposite part of writing is falling off. And I think it's worth celebrating when people, you know, dust themselves off and pick the gravel out of their teeth and get back on. So it's just been a huge hit on the site. And one thing we do, it's kind of, you know, Delilah, the show Delilah, where readers call in and they've got their sad stories. Yeah. And then she's like, I've got just the song for you, girl. And she'll play, you know, some uplifting, cheesy,
Bette Midler
cheesy
song.
Number. So I was like, this is great. We can do this. You know, that's what we'll do. So everyone who, for every submission we send out a dedicated music video to them.
And this one is going to go out to you, Leslie Wiley. This is from Bette Midler's collection, Wind Beneath My Wings, because that is exactly what you needed when you were being catapulted into the air with wings to let you land safely. But it did not happen.
Suck it! Oh, my gosh. You know, I haven't actually used that song before, but I'm totally going to.
You're listening to B98.5, everybody. Thank you for joining us. It's Delilah. Awesome. Oh, God.
Yes.
This is awesome. All right. Well, Leslie, thank you for joining us as you do every week. We will talk to you again next Monday. I will have a report on my first training level horse trial on my horse.
Oh, good luck.
Oh, my God. I'm so nervous already. It's like huge. Well, thanks for joining us. We'll talk next week. HorseNation.com, people.
Thanks, Leslie.
You're welcome.
We're going to flood that thing with votes for so I can get that helmet. My God, I've got
to
get that helmet. How cool is that helmet?
We need to post it on all of our Facebook pages. So that's about 20,000. So we need to post it on all of them. We need to make sure that you get your votes. You can chat.
I want my vote. I mean, my eventing colors are red, white, and blue, Glenn. They're red, white, and blue.
I know. This is actually a cool helmet. I can't believe they're not making this helmet. They could sell tons of these. This is really a cool helmet.
All right, so I'm going to keep horsenation.com up, and I'm going to keep refreshing it and find out when the voting closes, when it actually opens up here, so I can say, go vote, because she said she's going to hit enter.
Did you ever hear of this 1K brand? I've never heard of them.
I think we saw them actually when we were in Philadelphia as Ada.
Really? I don't remember this one. Huh.
You know that hot Italian guy that walks around with the helmets? I think that's him.
Oh, okay. That's probably why I don't remember.
Jen knows it. I guarantee she remembers it. And so does Helena, the hot Italian guy with all the helmets. That's got to be him, without a doubt. I think it is. Well, I posted that video on Facebook. Did you watch it, Glenn, with Clayton?
Yes, I did. I'd watched that earlier today. And Clayton did. Apparently, those saddles work.
I'm telling you what, it made me feel better about having a Southern Stars event saddle. I was like, sweet, maybe I'll be okay.
And did you see right when he recovered there after the jump, right when he recovered, there was just this moment of hesitation where I think he couldn't believe that he recovered.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
Where he was just kind of taking inventory. Okay, everything's still here. I'm still on. Saddle's still on the horse. I can go now.
He was off the horse. I was amazing. He was hanging on the side. So if you guys haven't seen it, we just posted it on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. And if for some reason you're checking this way later, you can go to eventingnation.com and see it there as well, because it is just epic. It was fantastic. Now, the other story I've got for you, Glenn, is this weekend, I told you guys about this on Friday, Hanson was slated to run this weekend, and he hasn't run since the Kentucky Derby, since he ran ninth in the Kentucky Derby. Well, he ran this past weekend in the Iowa Derby. It's a grade three. It's mile and a 16th and $245,000 race. And I thought, there's no way. I mean, he's so I think he's a sprinter, and this is a distance race. Well, he romped. He kicked everybody's butt.
Really?
In this race. Yes, he took the lead immediately and led the whole entire way. As we know, Hanson doesn't like to get dirty. So he actually accelerated through the final turn and apparently won easily. And there were some class horses with him, too. So they're planning on running him again, I think, in the Travers Stakes in August. So that'll be good. And then final race news story is champion Big Brown, you know, Big Brown, who won the Derby and the Preakness. His first daughter ran this past weekend and won at Churchill Downs by 1 3/4 lengths. Her name is Brown Eyes Blue. So congratulations to Twin Creeks Racing Stables. They actually bought her for $180,000 at Keeneland, and she sold as a yearling for $70,000. So the pin hooking and that worked out pretty well. So congratulations to Big Brown and all of his connections over there at Three Chimneys.
Very good. Well, let's wrap it up, give your voice a break here this morning. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Don't forget you can hear all the shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. And you can hear all of our past episodes at horsesinthemorning.com. You take care of your voice, Jamie. And we'll be here tomorrow morning. Jamie won't. She's going to be out schooling for her show. And then Wednesday, we all have the day off, as it is Independence Day here in the United States, July 4th. So we will not have a show on Wednesday. So we'll see you in a couple of days. Be safe out there tomorrow morning.
Thank you very much. I will be probably, we'll see after tomorrow. But yes, I love a job that I can say I need the day off so I can go school cross country. And my boss is like, okay.
you got to do that or it's going to be a bad weekend. So that's
yeah, exactly.
All right. Thanks, Jamie. We'll talk to you later. Good luck.
All right. Spay, neuter, and geld, people. Horsenation.com. Go vote for me.